Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Saturate. It's so good to have you again today on the program. I hope you've called somebody and that you can bounce this message off them when it's over, okay? Going to dig a little deeper today, if it's all right with you. How many know what Romans 10:17 says? I bet you can quote it. I bet most of you can if you're, you know, if you've been in the way for any length of time. It says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that what it says? I want to read this to you from a different translation. This is actually referred to as God's Word translation. I like the way it brings it out. There are other translations that actually bring it out close to this, but this one really comes closer to the meat of the actual Greek than anything I've read so far. Listen to this. And I'm going to start at verse 14. But how can people call, Romans 10:14. How can people call on him if they have not believed in him? How can they believe in him if they have not heard his message? How can they hear if no one tells the good news? How can people tell the good news if no one sends them? As Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who announce the good news. But not everyone has believed the good news. Isaiah asks, Lord, who has believed our message? And then verse 17 says, so faith cometh from hearing the message, and the message that is heard is what Christ spoke. If you read that Greek word, it says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That word they translated in King James, the word God, is the word Christos. If I got that right, I may not have it perfectly right, but it is Christ. It's the words of Christ. And that changes it up just a little bit because if you're like me, honey, I was raised in a good Baptist church and I ain't picking on nobody. Trust me, it doesn't matter what that sign over that door says. It matters what that sign over your heart says. But I was raised to believe God's inerrant word from cover to cover. As the preacher would say, I believe it from contents to maps. And I do. And don't ever think for one minute that I'm not an advocate of the Old Testament. We need the Bible, the whole Bible, all of it. But I will tell you this. Not everything that's written in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, will bring faith to your life. Let's talk about it. Let's do this song, because this is exactly the truth. Jesus is the answer. Hope you enjoy it.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way, yes he is. Jesus is the answer for all the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I know you've got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your skies seem dark. You think the sun won't shine, but in case you don't know that the word of God is true, and everything he has promised, he will do it for you. That's the reason I say Jesus is the answer for the world today. La, la, la. Oh.
Okay, folks, listen. Here's one that we did on an earlier broadcast, and I want to tie it into what we're doing here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, which was engraved in letters on stones, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at the face of Moses because of its fleeting glory, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry of righteousness? And there's an exclamation point at the end of that. Indeed, what was once glorious had no glory now in comparison to the glory that surpasses it. For if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which endures? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at the end of what was fading away, but their minds were closed. For to this very day, that same veil remains at the reading of the old covenant. It has not been lifted because only in Christ can it be removed. And even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Let me go ahead and read the end of it. 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into His image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now see, folks, this goes to underpin what I said about you can't get faith from everything you read in the Old Testament. So like we said, I think in the previous broadcast, what are you hearing? People say, well, you don't like the Old Testament. Oh, my goodness, no. Listen, don't you remember on the road to Emmaus? Now, you got to remember when Jesus was on this earth and right after he was resurrected on that day, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have Paul's epistles. Paul was still Saul. He'd never been converted yet. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have any of that. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And the one thing that Jesus was so upset about was that the so-called religious people who should have known the scriptures better than anybody else could not look into the scriptures of the Old Testament and find him. And he was in it all over the place. And this is what happened on the road to Emmaus. Jesus comes to the two guys. I'm going to just refresh your memory. They're all sad, busted, and disgusted because their Savior's just been crucified 3 days ago. And now someone said, oh my gosh, somebody came, took him out of the tomb, and he's missing. We don't know what's going on. And he asked them, what's going on? Why are y'all so sad? And you notice they did not recognize him in the flesh. Now that is important. Because as far as Jesus was concerned, his fleshly ministry was done. They didn't need to see him in the flesh anymore. But what did he do? It says he started with Moses and then the prophets, and in all the scriptures, he showed himself to them. He brought out in the scriptures what parts contained him. You've heard it said, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed and the New Testament is Jesus revealed. We have so many types of Christ in the Old Testament. I mean, even you take the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham. That is an absolute type of Christ in the crucifixion. There's Isaac carrying that wood up that mountain, going up the same mountain in Mount Moriah that Jesus Christ went up. He went up on Mount Calvary, which is one of the mountains there in that range. And here's Isaac carrying the wood up there and asking his daddy, I got the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, by faith, he didn't even know what he was saying. He said, the Lord's going to provide himself a sacrifice. And he did. And we get to the end of that story, or almost, and it says that, you know, God stopped him off and said, don't hurt the child. I see now that you wouldn't withhold your only son that you love. Now, wait a minute. He had two sons. Remember Ishmael? What's God talking about? This is a type of Christ. This is so that we can say, see, I always had a question with that. I was like, God, you mean you didn't know his heart? You didn't know his heart? But what this was is a prophecy. This is a type of where now you and I can say to our Father in heaven, Father, I know now that you love me. And you would not withhold your only son, the son that you love, from me. That's Jesus Christ. See, when you preach stuff like that out of the Old Testament, that'll bring faith to your life. That kind of stuff right there will bring faith to you because you're talking about Jesus Christ. You're not in there talking about some veiled reference to the old Ten Commandments written down in stones. No, folks. You're talking about Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel message is. It's Jesus Christ. And didn't we just read it over there? You know, so many people just callously quote that scripture, Romans 10:17. You know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. But they don't understand what we read preceding that. It says it's all about the message of Christ. It's all about the message. How are they going to hear the message if somebody's not sent? And it says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring the message of the good news of what? Of Jesus. And it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the words of Christ. The message of Christ, folks. Oh, my goodness, these programs are much too short. But on the heels of yesterday's program, you know, what have you been hearing? Let me ask you a question. Folks, what brings faith to your life? What is it that you have heard that would bring faith to your life? You know the woman we talked about with the issue of blood. She was very familiar with the law. She knew what the law said. She knew she was taking her life in her own hands, walking outside that door, going into a crowd of people and her being unclean. That didn't bring any faith to her life. She knew about the law. That didn't bring a bit of faith to her life. You know what brought faith to her life? When she heard about Jesus. When she heard all the good news about Jesus Christ, it made her get up from where she was and move. What moves you? What motivates you to get up from your situation you're in right now and grab a hold of faith and not let go? What motivates you to stand on something different? So many people say, well, just tell it like it is. Honey, you keep telling it like it is, you're going to keep getting what you got. And that's bad English. But you need something new. You need a breakthrough in your life today. What's going to motivate you to get that breakthrough? Is listening to the old Ten Commandments going to do it? No, it's not going to do it. It's already told us. We've already read it. It's veiled. But when you can listen to the message of Jesus Christ, it will bring faith to your life, faith for you to get up from where you are and move forward. Maybe you're sitting there right now. I don't know why this comes to my mind, but I can just envision somebody that is so depressed, you're scared to get out of the bed. And if you did, you'd be certainly scared to open that door and walk out in the world. What's going to move you to get up and move? You know, depression's a real thing. I used to not have much sympathy for it. And I don't have sympathy, but I do have some compassion enough to tell you, get on your knees and pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart, change me. And you start listening to messages that have to do with the good news of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, I guarantee it, it'll change your life. You'll be able to get up and move. Oh, God bless you so much. We appreciate you coming to Saturate today. I can't make any apologies for the gospel of Jesus Christ, at least not the way I see it and hear it from Jesus talking to me. I hope you've heard something that will move you today and build faith in your life, okay? That's just what we want. We love you. Ask you to come back this same time tomorrow. Until then, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.